I didn't know there's a day for everything, and it's important to note important days. I didn't know that there is, in fact, a World Bee Day, and today is World Bee Day, UN, United Nations sanctioned. There is, obviously, we enjoy the honey, but also the issue around bees as pollinators, a period of climate crisis, a period where the reality of systems collapse, food systems collapse, is very much something that we have to be concerned about. Chris Nicklin, man I know in a different iteration as a documentary film producer, but now a honey beekeeper and also spokesperson for the Western Cape Bee Industry Association. Chris, it has been a minute. Thanks so much for reaching out, and thanks so much for informing us that there is something called a World Bee Day. How have you found this new industry, this new life, post-documentary film producing and making now, you know, keeping your attention on your bees, your hives, and of course, the honey?
Hi there, Lester, and happy World Bee Day to you and all the listeners. Look, I really miss my days in the media and, as you say, working as a documentary director, but I always reckoned there was a farmer inside me just waiting to get out. And I actually started beekeeping as a school kid in Cape Town and sustained the passion over the years. And I was determined at some point to go into bee farming, which I've done. And I can tell you, Lester, by the way, I'm talking to you from the top of a mountain in the Overberg where my farm is. It's a fynbos clad mountainside. And although it's sunny, it was quite chilly this morning, yet the bees were out at first light, beavering away as they do. Typically, honeybees are hesitant to work if it's cooler than 16 degrees Celsius. But the Cape honeybee, in one of its unique characteristics, is a bee that actually tends to work in cooler climates. And so they were out there this morning at first light. And as I say, every morning they're an inspiration and motivation to me to get on with the job.
And of course, Chris, when everyone hears bee farmer, they of course think liquid gold, they think honey. There's obviously the broader conversation of bees as pollinators, its connection to agriculture, and also the very real threat of systems collapse, which many countries in the world are starting to grapple with. Food systems collapse, and you more want to focus the public attention. Yes, the bee is nice, it's delicious, and it helps, you know, clear any scratchy throat in its medicinal value. But you actually just want to talk about it's the role of bees, as we know, as being this important pollination source to keep our food systems going.
You're absolutely right, Lester. You know, whenever I introduce myself to people as a bee farmer, a honey farmer, whatever, they automatically assume that honey production is the focus of our trade. And it's effectively the cherry on the top. Our fundamental role as large-scale beekeepers is to provide pollination services to the farmers in the Western Cape. That is where the emphasis has to be put. We are hopelessly dependent on honeybees in our rapidly growing agricultural sector to do the crucial pollination. I just want to add that we hear a lot of doom and gloom about honeybees the world over, and to a large extent, that's absolutely right. Honeybees and other pollinators are on the back foot for a variety of reasons, and we've probably heard of most of them, and that's got to do with climate change, the kind of agriculture we do, the reckless spraying of pesticides and other pollutants, encroachments on their environment, habitat loss, blah, blah, blah. However, in South Africa, we have two honeybee subspecies, one of which is endemic to here in the Western Cape that co-evolved in the fynbos biome, and that's the Cape honeybee, Apis mellifera capensis. To the north, we've got the African honeybee, Apis mellifera scutellata. Both these populations of honeybee, in comparison to the rest of the world, are relatively robust. But we have a looming crisis. South Africa is actually not a bee-friendly country. We're actually short of the essential forage that bees need in order to survive. And people look at me when I tell them that as I'm mad. You know, they say, well, you know, we reside in one of the most wonderful plant kingdoms of the world, the Cape Plant Kingdom. Surely there is an abundance of forage.
Yeah.
Yes, our bees can survive on what we've got, but they largely survive as subsistence bees, if I could put it that way. They're unable to store honey in the quantity that we as human beings require them to do. And over and above that, we're unable to have hives, manage beehives in the numbers in order to do the pollination that needs to be done on our farmlands. In other words, we do not have enough forage to sustain the numbers of bees to do our pollination. And a big conundrum is actually happening at the moment, but it's certainly a challenge that is about to confront us.
Is that why that the South African honey industry can't meet local demand? Because, of course, when I think, oh, you're a bee farmer, don't you just need a couple of hives and boxes, you know, as hives, and there are wildflowers everywhere, and that is enough to create honey. And, of course, South Africa imports tons of honey, which also then runs the risk of being adulterated with either lower quality honey. There are even some scans where they adulterate honey with high fructose corn syrup and gets labeled as honey with extra additives. I thought it would be quite easy. This is me and my uneducated mind of how to run a honey farm or bee farm. That's quite easy. Get a couple of boxes, get a queen, some bees, and there you have honey.
It might seem to be easier than meets the eye, Lester, but unfortunately not. Apiculture is actually quite a complicated and technical process, and you absolutely have to be knowledgeable, adept, skillful in managing bees in order to accrue any surplus. But just referring to the honey situation in South Africa, on average we consume about, as a country, we consume about 6,000 tons of honey a year. Yet we, as the beekeeping industry, the local beekeeping industry, can in the region of about 1,800 to 2,000, and that's because of the lack of forage. So that means that we're importing up to 4,000, probably more, tons of honey a year from abroad. And I'm sorry to say that very much of that comes from dubious sources. I'm not going to pick on countries, but tests that have been done on a lot of the imported honeys, which are often blended with our local honey, so you need to be aware of that, as you say, are adulterated to bulk them up with corn syrup, you mentioned, and a host of other sugar substances. So it's absolutely crucial that when consumers choose a jar or bottle of honey off the shelves, that they actually take the trouble to turn the bottle around and interrogate the label. Because my
We hope we can get Chris back.
From abroad are of dubious origin.
Sorry, Chris, we lost you for a little while. There you are, as you say, high on the mountain in the Overberg. But we have, again, whenever we mention bees, plenty of people, either as amateur beekeepers, have bee issues or want to get into the industry, they are questions. But first, the question here from Tandi. And she asks, "Hi, Lester, I was watching a documentary on macadamia nut production in California. Apparently, that honey tastes horrible. Does Chris know why? And also your thoughts on bee farmers traveling across the U.S. to pollinate certain crops. Maybe some of the agricultural science in that?"
That question came from Tandy, Lester.
That's right.
Yeah. To answer your question, Tandy, it's a very interesting question. And I actually think you're referring to almonds as opposed to macadamia. California is the biggest almond-producing center of the world, and they literally transport tens of thousands of beehives from the East Coast to the West Coast to do this all-essential pollination. And the bees are really overworked, put under enormous stress. It's literally battery beekeeping, industrial beekeeping. And it takes a great toll on the bees. But nonetheless, the farmers will not get their almond crops if they don't have beehives in numbers on their farms, in their almond groves. So answer the question about the taste of the honey. Yes, almond is not a great tasting honey. There is a compound in it that gives it a slightly bitter taste. So typically almond honey is not regarded as a table honey. It can be used in cooking and what have you, but it's not the kind of honey that people who like their honey would necessarily enjoy.
Chris, I don't want to go up against the big bee industry. I'm glad that you mentioned earlier that bees are one of the pollinators, particularly in more or less urbanized areas. And there's also this consideration that there are other pollinators as well. I read an interesting article that of course bees give us honey and they have a special place, I guess, in our psyche. But also there are certain flies that pollinate as well and also provide to the pollination of particularly wildflowers and plants as well. And I'm happy that you mentioned bees as one of the pollinators, which, you know, and so therefore systems failures could also result from other species of people, animals that are not bees, insects that are not bees that also pollinate our plants.
Absolutely, Lester. Obviously, as a beekeeper, I'm going to trumpet the honeybee, but there are there are numerous other pollinators. There are, in fact, 20,000 species of bees, and the honeybee is just one of them. And, of course, there are the other pollinators, the butterflies, birds, you can go on. Ants can be regarded as pollinators. But the important thing about honeybees is that they're the only insects that we can marshal in the numbers that we need for our farms. Historically, if you reach back in history, human beings have had a very close relationship with honeybees, and it's got to the point now that we are able to very effectively use them as pollinators in order to produce our food. But the crucial thing is insects. We were all aware of the controversies around climate change and the impact that it's having on the natural world. And yes, insects per se are seriously under threat, on the back foot. And if we're unable to shore up, secure, preserve our pollinator population and include honeybees in the one lump category, it's absolutely essential that we find ways of ensuring their survival, their long-term survival. And as an industry, yes, we extract a lot of value from the bees, but for much loftier reasons, it's essential that we find ways of preserving our honeybees, safeguarding their future, and ensuring that we have a sustainable industry here in South Africa to do the all-important work that our honeybees do.
Chris, again, as I said, there's plenty of interest and, of course, the importance of bees. So we have a few voice notes, which I hope you could assist people with. Let's have a listen, Johannes.
Sure.
Good morning, Lester. I would very much like to ask your bee expert what advice he has. I feed the sugar birds with sugar water, and the bees have taken over at this time, and I really just don't know what to do. What's the best advice, please? Thank you. Deline from Camps Bay. Bye.
Thanks, Deline. Chris?
Hello, Deline from Camps Bay. Look, I'm surprised that you find the need to feed the sugar birds at this time of year. Repens, the sacobossy, is in full bloom, so they should have plenty of nectar. But yeah, as regards your problem with bees, it is a problem. There's a relative lack of forage for bees as we slip from autumn into winter, which means that there's not a lot of food for them. So if you put out something like sugar water, what do they say? It'll be just like a bee to a honey pot. I would be cautious about doing that. You're not going to be able to get rid of the bees if you have wild bees in your area.
Chris Nicklin, we asked for 5 minutes. We got 20. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. And again, I used to work with you in a different iteration. You're now a commercial beekeeper, spokesperson of the Western Cape bee industry. Thanks for getting in touch. Really appreciate it. And I don't know how you people in the industry celebrate World Bee Day. Do you drink a glass of mead or something, some honey wine or some honey-flavored rooibos tea or something?
Well, we would if we could get our hands on the mead, Lester. And I heard your program a couple of weeks ago. Mead is still relatively in short supply. But can I recommend it to the wine drinkers? So just give mead a chance, and you'll find that it's a surprisingly enjoyable refreshment. Yeah. But, Lester, really great to catch up with you. And, of course, I remember the great days that we used to work together. And it's always been a privilege knowing you, and indeed a great privilege to be on Cape Dork on World Bee Day.
Excellent. Chris Nicklin is a commercial beekeeper. He's also a spokesperson for the Western Cape Bee Industry Association. Happy Bee Day, everyone, I guess.
Cape Talk.
Cape Talk.
Bringing you all the number ones from
1993.
Number Ones at One with Abongile Nzele Nzele.